Good morning, citizen lobbyist. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. There was a pretty semi-fiery assembly meeting on Tuesday we can talk about.
Let's do that. Let's start with that, since we were both there and we watched it. Go ahead. You begin.
And everybody else was there, too, Mike. For the first time for a little bit, all assembly members were there, and the mayor and the manager and everybody was present.
Right. In fact, they outnumbered by 2-1, at least the people in the audience.
Members.
Yes, except for the staff in the back. Right.
That's right. I think there were only two members of the audience that I could see.
That's all. I would agree with that number. And that was kind of interesting. It either means that a lot of people are listening to our stream as we stream that, or perhaps that thought that this is the time when a lot of people go hunting and do other things. It's true.
Bear just got over.
Bear just got over, whatever. But let's take a look at what was on that agenda and how
they started.
Yeah, go ahead.
They started with a report from the cities, as they normally do, and Bert Cottle, mayor of Wasilla, was there. He talked about the upcoming Matsu Transportation Fair that's going to take place in the Menard Center on September 28th, and those are usually pretty well attended.
Yes.
And then September 30th, he has a big emergency expo also going on at the Menard Center, so folks should take a look out for both of those events. And then he wanted to give a little update, and I found this kind of interesting, Mike, on the Veterans Wall. This has been something, a piece of property. Veterans Wall, of course, is across from the hospital on a piece of property that was formerly owned by the Matsu Borough and had the Visitor's Center on it. And through some negotiations, Spring Creek Enterprises bought it from the borough. I can't remember, somewhere over $1 million. And they, at one point, were going to incorporate the Veterans Wall into their design of their project there, which was a assisted living facility, a nursing facility. And then the next time they decided they were going to move it to make it work with the design on the property, and they started a nonprofit to raise some money to make that happen. And the borough actually gave them $150,000 to make that get started. Well, now it appears that Spring Creek has sold out to Maple Springs, another entity, and Mr. Cottle was bringing to their attention that he meets with five veterans groups, and everybody's wondering and are getting a little concerned about what's going to happen to Veterans Wall. And I think it's something to be a little concerned about. The manager didn't have too much to say about it. I can't remember which assembly person asked about the status of that and what happened with that $150,000. So we'll have to kind of follow that, Mike.
Well, it's curious, too, because I realize now, as we're talking about it and when it came up on Tuesday, that I just had the assumption that that was all percolating along in the background. But what we're suggesting is that with the changed ownership, et cetera, we're not quite sure what's happening.
Right. Yeah. And interestingly enough, that Maple Springs and Spring Creek were both vying to get licensing through the state to have both open facilities. So the whole scope has changed here, which, you know, maybe we'll hear about later. But that, I think that's something to keep an eye on.
Oh, absolutely.
He also talked about the mayor talked about the town hall type event they had on August 24th regarding plastic bags. And they took, it seemed like 75% of the people there, however they did that, wanted an outright ban on them. And they were going to bring it up at their council meeting this next time they had a council meeting. So again, something to watch. He was glad that it had been delayed, you know, till December to give the city's time to weigh in on it. So we'll see what the city of Palmer has to say about it next week, if they just say anything. And we may know by then also what the city of Wasilla is going to do about plastic bags.
Well, I know that some members of the Palmer City Council are interested in having a discussion, and we're waiting for Wasilla. So this should be interesting, and it should all flow in so that, that we may see some movement on this particular issue of plastic bags.
Right. And then there was a superintendent's report from Superintendent of Schools Monica Goyad. She talked first about the peak assessments, which people have probably seen. It's a new assessment tool that the state does as part of their testing. And as they expected, taking in consideration the standards for education standards 5 years ago were changed, and everything's much more rigorous now, and they didn't do well, and she wasn't happy with that. She said she wasn't going to make any excuses, just something that they had to work on, but that, you know, it is should be pointed out that, again, they're giving a different type of test, so that may be part of it. She did say that the graduation rate has gone up to 81% now, 9% raise over the last 5 years, so she was pretty happy about that. And then enrollment is a little down, 99% of what they projected, and that could cost them if they don't get an extra 199 students between now and the official count in October, which, you know, is a while away here, the 1st of October, could cost them some $3 million in funds from the state. So they're watching that closely. She thought they would be below projection, but she thought they would make up some of that 199 students.
I think the important point there is that we're talking about 19,000 students. So at first glance, 199 seems like a small number. They were pretty close to projecting what they thought they were going to have.
They've been always very close. This will be that they've either been at or below projections in the last 5 or 10 years. So, you know, this might be the first thing, sort of a mark on the economy and the changes and the people that have moved on or lost jobs or that sort of thing. And that might be a good indication of it if we see what those final numbers are in October.
Right.
She said that they were going to be hosting some school tours. I'm really glad to see them do that the end of September for assembly people and elected officials. And they're going to take them, start at the Glen Massey and look at the program they have there for at the college for the Matsu Middle College, I think is what
yes.
they call it there.
Right.
And then they're going on to Academy Charter and Wasilla Middle School to look at their coding academy that MTA has worked with them to do and end up at Matsu Central. So she thought it was a good opportunity, was really encouraging elected officials to go on it so that, you know, they could see a lot of them don't really get into the schools much and, you know, see how the schools are doing and see what their facilities look like and have them answer questions and that sort of thing. So I think I've always thought that was a good idea to do. I almost wish they'd opened up and let the public do it too, because only about 21, 22% of the public ever has kids in school. So a lot of people make a lot of judgment about schools and never really actually set foot in them. So this is a good step to get the elected officials on it. Maybe they'll expand it out if it's successful. So that was kind of her report.
But we don't want to leave it without saying that there was at least one assembly member who persisted in asking questions. In fact, I think was cut off by the mayor.
We told him to just relax a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Right. I thought the superintendent did a fine job.
I did too.
In particular, it was one of those cases where a reference was thrown out, which was questionable in the sense of, was that an accurate bit of data by assembly member? And I think the important point, as I reviewed that in my own mind, is to say when reports are given by someone from the cities or the school district, questions certainly can be asked, but any attempt to engage in a dialogue at that time is very, very awkward, and isn't particularly productive.
Yeah, it did give her an opportunity to, he was, of course, sort of piling on her, I would say, about the testing, the results of the testing, which she had gone over, and she, you know, she stopped and said, you know, we've given the same test in district called the MAP testing for, I think, 12 years, and they like it because it doesn't just compare them, you know, to Alaskan schools so much, but it has a national-wide comparison to kids and how they're doing. But she said that, you know, compared to the national norms, their kids start out below grade average, so when they come in from kindergarten, they're below their peers. And it shows that by eighth grade, they're above their grade average. So that long period of testing using the same tests has shown them a lot of information. And she also made a really good point I didn't know about, Mike, was that parents often, and there's a lot of controversy right now around school testing. A lot of parents feel there's too much or not enough or usually too much, but they can opt out. And even of the state assessment, which they're now talking about the results of, 2% opt out, and at Colony High, 30% of the kids opt out of the test. So, you know, we can talk all day about testing, but it's you have to have a good idea with testing a lot of kids, and when 30% of one school opts out of testing, I just wonder how skewed those results are. So, kind of interesting.
Right. Well,
so that was a good explanation by her, and I'm sure it'll come up again, so we'll probably have more about it. Then they had a report from the Wastewater and Septic Advisory Board. I got a little, I think I was yawning during this a little bit. They passed a resolution about biosolids in that particular advisory board, and basically it was recommending that the assembly take no action. And I was a little confused because I think this came up with the assembly already, and the assembly voted it down. So I don't know if this report is something new to collect more information back to the assembly, or they're going to reconsider it, or it's still being talked about out there. But at the end of the day, I thought the Assemblywoman Barbara Doty got the award because she said she wanted, you know, if they were going to have any talk of using biosolids from septic waste and putting them on agricultural or roads or anything, she wanted to bring in a specialist, a chemist, to really look at what they were spreading because she doesn't think that the evaluation that's being used is considering everything that's in there. And, you know, Jim Sykes brought up some good ideas about, wanted to know about the biosolids for generating power. I think Anchorage is doing some of that right now. And, you know, he said he's, you know, some type of incineration or disposal so it doesn't get in the landfill is something they should be looking at. So it was kind of one of those reports, Mike. I don't know if you got something out of it. I didn't, but that's kind of all I gleaned out of it.
Well, I think you did a great job just now of wandering through it because it was a little bit unclear to me. Report was coming up. I think this was a non-movement type of thing. It was a report about what they were talking about, but it didn't really address the concerns that a number of assembly people had about the ultimate point, which was, so you want to spread this on agricultural land. What other options mm-hmm. are there? And mm-hmm. and it just was a reminder that this issue was still out there bubbling along. And I said, okay, this is going to require more discussion later on down the road. And I agree with you. Barbara Doty's comments were a reminder of the need to do this kind of checking to make sure this was going to work okay.
Well, it also, you know, kind of leads into another conversation, Mike, about the fact they are going to be building a huge septic wastewater plant in the valley. We now take all of that stuff to Anchorage, and we finally, after years of Helen Munoz and other people telling them we have to get this infrastructure in, they are getting ready to bid that out. And in fact, they're going to send some people from Public Works to look at a couple of examples of that soon. And I hope that they do, you know, look at other areas that have been able to do things, you know, have some renewable energies into it, or finding some creative ways of getting rid of that waste, and they don't just do it the same old way. But we'll see how that shakes out. But it's all part of a bigger conversation.
Right, right.
Then they had a little bit, they hardly ever talk about assembly public relations, but they did have a few this time. Steve Culligan talked for quite a while, a little bit about the Fish and Game meeting and a letter that the mayor had sent to the governor about deep concern and of people in the valley and the return of runs of fish here. They had a meeting a few weeks ago, and some 200 people showed up about in support of, you know, something has to be done. We have to get some better equipment for fish counting here. We don't have any sonar or anything here like they do up in the Kenai. And everybody is pretty upset with the lack of returns and runs that end up here. I guess we did get a late run of silvers that people were pretty happy about it, but it was so late in the season, a lot of people were either, you know, off on vacation or kids back in school and that sort of thing. And so the fish dilemma continues on, but he wanted to, he was glad that they had hosted that meeting and hoped some results come to it. He talked about the Wasilla plastic bag meeting. Apparently he did go, and he thought there's many ways to solve it without a tax, but we'll see how that goes. And he also gave kind of a passionate little talk about he wanted to thank the EMS in the borough because his wife was hit on the way home from Anchorage going 70 miles an hour from behind. She was rear-ended.
I think her vehicle's actually stopped, he said.
Oh, it was stopped. Okay, I thought.
Yeah, I think it was stopped, and someone came in at a high speed and knocked her vehicle many hundreds of feet. Yeah.
Makes sense. But the Matsu Central was there in 14 minutes, and that he was really pleased that they were able to get her out. He was quite emotional about it. And Mayor Halter talked about testifying at a hearing for the Certificate of Need for the Matsu Regional Hospital to put in a wing for substance abuse and
mental health issues,
would continue.
Right.
The manager didn't really have any comments at that point. They did have a presentation from the animal care division, quite kind of a long one, about introducing all of the animal control officers and some stories about just what they're doing and the large amount of animals that they're taking in, and they feel like they have a really good staff now. I think they've got 5 officers now, which seems like a lot more than they used to anyway. And but Assemblyman McKee is a big fan of that department, so it was well received. They didn't have any state or federal legislation to talk about or strategic planning. Attorney didn't have anything. Clerk just, you know, had her usual clerk comments as far as what their schedule was going to be. So that went pretty quick, Mike. They had a little break, and then they were off to the races on the first thing, and that was to talk about setbacks.
Oh, that one was probably the most interesting because it really is fuzzy, even though one would think that you could see a line that says, here's a setback, here's the numbers. Well, what did you get from that?
Well, presently right now, the setbacks for right-of-ways is 25 feet, and it's a setback for septics and water wells. That there's, you know, septics from the part that the borough owns, the right-of-way, and this was a change in that brought by staff to change it from 25 feet to 10 feet. And what I gleaned from it, Mike, sort of went around and around there, and there were a lot of questions about it. Was a lot of people are out of compliance. They know there's a lot of people out of compliance. There's also a lot of people that are wanting to put multiple buildings on their lots, and they're running up against this 25-foot easement. They did have something to say about septics and the danger of, you know, septics not being put in right and bleeding on to those easements and causing some damage to the roads when they may have to use that right away. Barbara Doty again interjected and asked if septic or people putting in septic systems didn't have to be certified on that sort of thing. And the borough staff didn't really know too much about that. But there was a lot of back and forth, and I think Jim Sykes, you know, just basically said, you know, why would we reduce these things after what's happened with our properties in the Butte and other areas where there's water problems? And I just doesn't understand. I think George McKee wanted to know, well, you know, how long is 25 foot been in effect, and has there been a problem with it? It just seemed like they were all trying to figure out why this was coming to them and not getting really great answers on it. So they do what they often do when they're not getting the answers they want or just can't make a decision on it. They postponed it until September 19th. So we'll see what comes back on that. But I had some thoughts after, Mike. I was actually thinking about this yesterday. And, you know, we often see legislation where the borough's having to buy land from people for right away. And I think that's one thing to be a little concerned about, is that we give up 25 feet on these properties and now at some point have to turn around because we know we don't have all the roads we need in the valley, and have to turn around and buy more right away from people. I guess I would be of the mind that if I don't see a compelling reason why to change it, the fact that people are, you know, aren't abiding by it is not reason enough to change it from 25 feet to 10 feet. But we'll see what comes out at the next meeting.
Well, that point that you just made was the one that intrigued me. Mm-hmm. And I think.
And it didn't really come up.
Yeah. Well, there was some just a little bit of pointing in the direction of, over the years, how compliance with many of these setbacks is not something that is easily enforced or reviewed.
Well, there's not enough people. Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. They have, I think, 2 compliance officers in the entire borough. Which, you know, kind of when I think about 5 animal care, although I'm all about animal care, 5 animal carers, that's, I think they could do to put some more enforcement in their ordinances that they do have on the book. But that's what came up to me. But we'll see how it goes.
Sure. It's not done yet. That's the point you're making.
Not done yet.
Right.
We'll see. That's another meeting. They had a gas LID that didn't go through. They passed some money for some change, moving in some road fund balance in the Fairview area.
But then there was the discussion about design build or...
That's right.
Yes.
Right. Well, that was on the consent agenda, which was interesting, because usually whatever is on the consent agenda goes by without anything. So, yeah, Mike, there was some talk of someone had pulled this off with a contract that's given for another fire station. It's $701,000 for Station 6-2. Can't really remember where that is. It may be in the Big Lake or the West Lakes area. I'm not sure. And it was awarded as a design, so an architectural drawing of this fire station. And there was quite a few comments on that. I think Jim Sykes pulled it off at the beginning and wanted to know a little bit about the dollar amounts. He seemed like that was a lot of money for a design, and why they weren't going using a existing prototype. And that was explained away by the purchasing officer and saying that they have been doing buildings up to this point in what they call build designed, where they let architects and builders get together and make a bid on both of those entities of building something, putting $1 amount for that, so to speak. But because they think that the price of building in this economy is going to go down, they think this is a better route, is to just get a design and then hire a builder. I kind of question that myself, considering all the disasters that happened in the lower 48 and what the cost of building products are going to be. And it may not just be our economy that's going to drive the price of this, but how much building prices are going to be for materials. But that didn't come up. But they talked a little bit about design build a lot about this. They went out, but they have gone out to this. They did go out as a build design originally. There was some contesting of the award bid on that, and they pulled back, and instead of trying, they thought they'd be in court forever trying to get out of that one. It would cost a lot of money, so they decided just to do it this way and do them separately. So they went back and forth about this, Mike. I don't know
what else
you want to add. At the end of the day, they did accept it reluctantly, but I don't think there were people. I think there were people at that table that weren't completely satisfied with it.
Yeah, but that is a safe observation. And then they were that, yeah, and then they were pretty much done.
Yeah, they had an ordinance in front of them to change the scope of the Transportation Advisory Board, and actually the makeup of it, which had got some play at other meetings, but this one didn't have anything. They had passed a resolution sitting in front of them that came back to them for a roof on the Nutrition Services Building at the that the school district has here in Palmer. But that was one question on that, and it went away right away. I think George McKee voted against it, but everybody else voted for it. So that was kind of it, Mike, and not even really anything interesting in comments, although I will say that my favorite comment of the entire meeting was when somebody said that Timothy Leary was a PhD, too, to keep that in mind.
Yeah, they're big.
I thought that was my favorite comment.
Right.
So, yeah, there was, you know, not a lot of anything. There was some comments. Two people, as we said, in the audience that made comment. Helman Yost was one of them. And, of course, it was about the septic system. And, you know, she's getting tired of waiting for it to be built. She wants to see some dirt turn, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then someone else who was there objecting to them accepting late filed taxes and veterans late filed right. taxes and seniors late filed, that she thought that her name was Amy Henry and that there were lots of veterans that and they should just do everything in a timely manner because the rest of us should not have to pay for those late filings.
Right.
But that was
pretty much it. That was it.
That was pretty much it. Yeah. So
we'll have to wait 2 weeks for the next meeting to happen, and we'll have to talk about other things such as the school board at a later time because we're running out of time today.
That sounds like a good plan.
Okay. Well, thank you, citizen lobbyist.
Go out and have a good day. It looks like the sun's going to shine.
Yes. Enjoy.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.